Hello, my dear prayer center friend. I want to take a few moments and just share some encouraging words with you about serving God and walking with God, especially when difficult times happen, or I call them speed bumps. You know, when you're driving down a road and there's a little bump they have with a little yellow, you hope the yellow line's there, and you slow down when you hit it because you don't want to wreck your car. And in Christianity, there's times when you're serving God and all of a sudden you hit a speed bump and it slows you down. And you want to go faster, but these speed bumps seem to slow you down. And I remember asking God about this one time, and he said something along the lines of, the road to the high call of God is littered with tests and trials. And see, when I first was excited about the high call of God, I remember wanting to be used of God so much and so mightily, and was so hungry for God and seeking his face. And I wanted God to use me. I wanted to be in the high call of God. I'm going to turn over here to Philippians as I'm talking. And I thought the high call of God was great miracles and prosperity and a huge worldwide ministry, that I've reached the highest pinnacle of success as a believer in this world. And that was what I was inspired by, the church teachings in my early days, that I was pursuing great victories and great success, finances, everything, airplanes, private jets, as we flew around the world preaching the gospel. That was my idea of the high call of God. And I was started to pray in tongues because Pastor Dave inspired me to pray in tongues. And I would spend time, my friends even started to call me the hermit, because instead of going out to eat every night or hanging out, I ended up going to my room and praying and spending time with God. And one time while I was praying there in my room, I sat on my bed just praying in tongues, and the Lord, it was like the Lord came and sat down right beside me, and he asked me a question. He said, I want you to choose today. Will you choose the high call of God, or are you going to be a regular Christian? That was his wording, a regular Christian. And I was about to say, well, of course, the high call, of course, the high call. And he said to me, before I could say that, he showed me a glimpse of what the high call of God was. And that picture he showed me was a life of death to my natural man, a life of not prosperity, but a life of serving him, a life of praying hour after hour, a life of fasting, a life of dedicating myself to growing in Christ. And I was shocked because it was so contrary to what I had been taught the high call of God was. Remember, at that point, I was young, but at that point, I perceived the high call of God was me reaching the highest point of success in prosperity, in ministry, worldwide ministry, and people following me and listening to me. That's what I thought the high call of God was. But I'm going to read to you out of Philippians, and it matches with what God showed me. Let's see, let's read Philippians chapter 3. We'll start in verse 5. Paul talking about himself, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecution, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of God, of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I'm suffered the loss of all things, and counted them as rubbish or dung in the King James, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. So here is a picture that Paul says, I gave up all my ability, my accolades. You know, he didn't come to Christ as a sinner, like a worldly sinner, a drunkard, a child molester. He came to Christ as a holy, devoted man in a religion because he wasn't saved. And he had to let go of all that ability that he had of success and grab hold of and count it loss. This is not helping me. I'm letting it go. You know, this is not the pathway to success in God. And here he says that he's grabbing hold of the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. He is talking about a lifestyle of death, of not having the ability to generate anything from this world by your natural means. And isn't that kind of the path that you and I have been on as we've been praying and seeking God? All the little schemes I planned to build the ministry, all the little ideas I had, he had me lay them down. Every time I try to create something, thank God for praying in tongues, because it got me to the place where I had to lay it down. Until I came to the place where I quit trying to build, I started focusing on growing. That I'll grow in God, in the characteristics of God, and the Holy Spirit will build what he wants to build through me, not me build it for him. And many in the church world are struggling because they have been taught how to build things in the name of God. But remember, the impossible, which is really what we're after, a revival of the impossible. The impossible cannot come from the possible. We can't take the building blocks of the possible realm and build something that will bring the impossible. The only place for the impossible to come forward is from the spiritual impossible realm. God is impossible. Everything about God he does is impossible on this world, but it's possible for him, because to him it is who he is. So we can't make a revival out of the possible blocks of building blocks of life. We have to go into God. And in that means we have to go to a place of death of ourself, death of our dreams, death of our ability, and lay them out. And that's what Paul's talking about when he's talking about the high call. Verse 12, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that of which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Again, the things he's leaving from behind are religious works, religious activities. Not drinking or smoking, but religious activities in the name of God. He's leaving those behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, which means that I'm dying to my own ability. I'm dying to my flesh's, my outer man's dreams and desires, and I'm pursuing God's will for my life and only God's will for my life. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward or high call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if indeed anyone thinks otherwise, God will reveal this to you. So he's really saying this is the only message that's important. Let anyone who thinks differently learn what I'm teaching. And he's saying the way to the high call is not the highest form of the world's accolades or success. The high call is how much I've lost of Alan. I've let go and let die of Alan, my first birth, and allow the person I've been born again, the child of God, grow and mature in the nature of Christ. That is the high call. I remember sitting on my bed and saying to God, when he showed me the lifestyle, that for me to obtain the high call in my life was a lifestyle of letting go of all my dreams, letting go of my idea of success, letting go of everything, and spending time in prayer, devoted to worship, to fasting, and really becoming a place of authority that God could work through. And I remember saying to God at the time, I looked in my own personality, and I said, God, I can't find anything in me that wants to be that man. I mean, I want it, but I can't find the desire to lay my life down that much, to lay my dreams and ambitions down that much. And so many believers are using the word of God and the things of God to pursue their natural ambitions. They're calling it their calling. They're calling it their service to God. But really, they're serving their outward man in the name of God. And this life of laying down your life of high call is one of death to yourself, death to your dreams, death even to your abilities, and a receiving of God working through us. And one of the standards we live by is that we wait on God and that we co-labor with the Holy Spirit. Well, that co-laboring is that He does the work, we provide the authority. And that's really the walk of the Spirit, that we spend our time focused on growing up and maturing in spiritual truths and the knowledge of God, which Paul talked about there in Philippians, growing up in that to where there's enough authority for God to work through. I'm going over to 2 Corinthians now, chapter 11, the famous verse that Pastor Dave talked about, the chapter 11, the devil filed the chapter 11 on Paul. And see, this here is really kind of what I want to encourage you on. That when you go through difficult times, in other words, things that shouldn't happen, these speed bumps, you run over them, boom, boom, and you slow down. It's like, well, I want to go faster, God, but these things the devil puts on the road. See, the road to the high call is littered with tests and trials. And God didn't put the tests and trials there. He put out a pathway for you and I to walk into revival, a revival that the world will be shaken by the power of God. That's our calling. That's where we're going. There's a road that God gave us, and it's the road of praying and worship and fasting. And we've been pursuing that. And then on that road, it's a clear road. It's clear, it's perfect. But the devil comes and begins to litter things on it. These are roadblocks. These are speed bumps. He litters it with things. When the Bible talks about a narrow path, it doesn't mean it's narrow. It means it's got more stuff on it that is narrow. And the enemy throws these things on there. God didn't put them there. The devil did. And when we're going passionately towards revival, we hit this roadblock, this speed bump, and it can bring discouragement. Like, is this, what's going on? I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to please God. I'm telling people Jesus loves them, and I keep being attacked. I keep hitting these roadblocks, and I'm slowing down. I want to go faster. Well, one of the reasons it can be discouraging is because you're not expecting it. There's a religion that says from the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, you know, choose blessing or cursing. And it's the idea that you can choose. If you really chose God and really, I mean, you really love God and were right with God, then everything in your life would be butterflies and beautiful flowers and streams and fields and perfect. You'd have wealth and success and happiness in this world. And the fact you're hitting a stumbling block, a roadblock, a speed bump is because you chose cursing. And that's a lie of the enemy. That's a religious tradition that's been brought into some of our belief system. And I had to root it out because I kept hitting stumbling blocks and roadblocks, really judging myself and condemning myself like I'm a failure, it's not working. But from chapter 11, 2 Corinthians, it is telling us that the pathway to revival is going to be full of roadblocks and stumbling blocks and unfair things happening, not because you're failing, but because you're doing everything right. See, Paul was the apostle, the original pastor in Corinth, and he had a group of apostles. He calls them false apostles, transformed like Satan transformed into an angel. These false apostles transformed themselves into apostles of Christ. Verse 13 of 2 Corinthians chapter 14. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. So now we see this group had come into Paul's church that he had moved on from and left growing and began to discredit Paul and say to the people, he cannot be a follower of Christ because look, he's cursed. Look at all the bad things that are happening to him. Look at all the struggles. Look at all the battles. It's because he's walked out of God's hand. He's walked into the devil's path. They said, look, he has no money. He has to work a job. It's because he's not faithful to God. Look at us. We're prosperous. This is God's blessing on us. And they were turning the hearts of the people away from Paul so they could the devil could rob them from their, maybe even eventually their salvation. Paul goes on to make an argument about the struggles he's going through. And I won't go on too much, but let's just read a little bit here. Verse 22, talking about these false apostles. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. This is him talking about his ministry. You know, follow me as I follow Christ and get beat and whipped and imprisoned. I go to a town to preach and they're protesting and they're trying to get me arrested. All I'm doing is preaching Jesus. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I've been in the deep. Can you imagine treading water for a day and a half, a night and a day, waiting for someone to rescue you? In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil. Here he's talking about his ministry. Now, let's contrast this picture with what you see on Christian television. What is the promise of Christian television preaching? Prosperity, success, happiness, the best life now. And it's appealing to the natural man, the natural desires of the natural soul, trying to say that if you are good to God, he'll be good to you. And here we're seeing that as Paul was obeying God and following God, he was hitting these roadblocks and stumbling blocks, speed bumps. But the point is he never stopped and he made it through all of them. Now we'll just go down for time. And I'm going to read chapter 12, verse 7. Paul writes, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." Now, many Christians have twisted this and turned this into something it's not. He's simply saying that the reason why I have so little worldly success, prosperity, isn't because God has left me or I left him. It's because the enemy has come against me because of the revelation I have and the truth that I'm sharing. He's trying to stop the truth in me. So it wasn't even Paul that the devil was trying to stop. He's trying to stop the revelation from being exalted. Not Paul, but the revelation. And a messenger was Satan, an assigned demon was sent to cause him trouble and to hold him back. And that's the roadblocks and the tests and trials that you're going to have to go through. That's the encouragement if you expect it, in the sense of it's not because you failed that you're going through a difficult time. Maybe something's happened that wasn't fair, that didn't make sense. You did everything right, but yet hard times are coming. Well, be encouraged that the point of hard times is not to judge yourself for failing. The point of hard times is to tell yourself, this cannot stop me. This will not stop me from walking out what God's told me to do. This will not deter me, discourage me. I refuse to give in. I refuse to bow down because my life is not about finding success in this world. My life has been given to God so he can change the world through me. Concerning this thing, verse 8, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times. That it might depart from me. He asked God, God, please take all these roadblocks off my path. I see your path that you have me on. Take them off. Take the roadblocks, the speed bump, remove them. And God's answer was basically, I didn't put them there. I can't. See, the only way for God to give you a happy life without stress, without battles, is to take you off of the path of his will. To remove you from the path that the enemy is afraid of. The devil will leave many people alone because he's not worried about them. But he's worried about the truth in you. He's worried about the truth of God growing, the authority of God growing in you. And so when he sends destruction and he sends discouragement and tests and trials and roadblocks and speed bumps, it can only be there not to stop you. It can't stop you. God's already got answers to get through it. It can only discourage you enough that you'll slow down and quit and maybe try to find an easier path. How many people do we know that started to serve God with passion and then got tired of not having the rewards that they wanted and they found a preacher, a path that would let them have it? This is a path that you're on simply because God believes you won't quit. So I don't want you discouraged when you face unforeseen, difficult things that don't go our way, that make it more difficult to do what we feel we're supposed to do, be encouraged. That just like when Paul said, please, please take this from me. He was saying, please remove all the roadblocks, remove all the things. And God says, basically, the devil put them there, not me. And I will supply enough grace. Look at this. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Here's Paul answering the accusations of those false apostles who are saying that it's his failure that is causing all these problems, that he's left God. And Paul says, I'm going to boast in my infirmities. So you may call it a failure. I call it success. Because the devil's worried about me. He's obviously not worried about you. Therefore, most gladly, I would, not you, but the people accusing him. I'd rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That the only way I'm going to get through all these attacks is if Christ is with me, and through his help, I can overcome. His grace is the only way I can survive these tests and trials and attacks. And Paul is saying, praise God. Glory to God. We're worthy of another attack. We're worthy of another battle, but his grace is on us that we will get through it. Our job is not to be strong. Our job is not just not to quit and change course. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses. For Christ's sake, when I'm weak, then I am strong. The point I want to bring in encouragement is, why are we expecting a Christianity without fight? If that's in our heart, it's because of religion. And I had to root it out and still have to root it out sometimes. That we'll never lack in our needs being met. We'll never lack in God's provision. But in the walk to see revival, we're going to face resistance. We're going to face the battle. When I sat there with God, I said, God, I want to be that man of character, of holiness, that man of the high call, which means my life is not my own. I had to die to myself. I want to be that man, but I can't find anything in me that really wants that. And then I said this, I said, Father, I choose the high call if you'll help me. And that's all he needed to hear, was my permission for him to take me down the path that the devil was going to try to stop me. And my job was to continue to fight for prayer in my life, for worship in my life, for fasting in my life, for meditating the word, the message we preach. To fight for that to be so much part of my life that I die to myself. That was the high call of God. And then not to give up. That all the strength I have cannot come from my own ability. I cannot fix whatever the devil throws at me, but God can. I cannot fix it in the natural. There's things in my life that I battle that I cannot fix in the natural. I need God's grace every day to get up. And this is a healthy walk, that you need God's grace to make it through the day. That's not a defeat. That's not a failure. That's success, that you come so much relying on God that you're not going to make it if you give up on him. Where am I going to go if I change course? Just to the dung pile. I got nothing to give the world, nothing to give life except for him. This is a great walk we're on. I want to encourage you today. Don't be discouraged no matter what the devil throws at us, throws at you personally. Don't be discouraged. Sometimes when hard times come, it's not because you failed. It's because you're doing everything right. This message, that the high call of God is littered with tests and trials. The high call of God has got roadblocks and speed bumps we have to plow through and go through. We can't go around. We can't leave the fight to find a peaceful way. We have to fight through, but it's peaceful because we're not the ones fighting. God will fight for you if you just don't give up. We've already won. His grace is sufficient for us. God's grace is bigger than any attack of the enemy. I want to encourage you today not to be discouraged and to know that this is the walk we've chosen, or this is the walk that he's chosen for us because he knows we can walk through it. And we'll walk through everything he throws at us because he cannot win. God will see his revival in Tulsa and in the world. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your grace on me and my friend. that we don't have to be strong. We don't look to our strength as how successful we are. We don't look to victories. We look simply to you. You are grace provider, our strength provider. We're weak. We're too weak to overcome in the natural what the devil is throwing against us. But we're strong in you, so strong the devil can't stop us and he will not stop us. So I thank you right now that you're pouring your grace abundantly upon us now, that we will win. We won't give up. And thank you for it, Father. We win in Jesus' name. I love you and so proud of you that you're with us and in this together. So proud to be in this with you, the pathway to revival. God bless you.